what's really the purpose of life, if you can give an insight on that.
Isn't it fantastic that if there's no purpose, you have nothing to fulfill, you can just live? No, but you want a purpose. And not a simple purpose, you want a God-given purpose. It's very dangerous. People who think they have a God-given purpose are doing the cruelest things on the planet. Yes or no? They are doing the most horrible things, and they have always been doing the most horrible things. Because when you have a God-given purpose, life here becomes less important than your purpose. Now, life is important. Life is important. When I say life, I am not talking about your family, your work, what you do, what you do not do, your party. I am not talking about that as life. This is life, isn't it? Life is within you or around you. The ambience of life. You are mistaking the ambience of life for life. Your home, your family, your workspace, your party. This is all ambience of life. This is not life, isn't it? Yes or no? You're mistaking the ambience for the real thing. No. Life is important. Because it's the only thing you know. You don't know anything else. Do you know something else? Rest is all imagined stuff, isn't it? The only thing is that this is beating and alive, and that's all there is. It is of paramount importance. Not you as a person. That's not important. But you as a piece of life, it's very important. Because that is the basis of everything. When I say that is the basis of everything, the universe exists for you only because you are, isn't it? Yes or no? The world exists for you only because you are. Otherwise, it won't exist in your experience. So, in every way, this is important. So, what is the purpose for this? See, if you had a purpose and if you fulfilled it, after that what would you do? Bored, isn't it? It is just that life is so intricate and so phenomenally intricate that if you spend 10,000 years looking at it carefully, you still will not know it entirely. If you spend 1,000,000 years looking at it with absolute focus, still you will not know it in its entirety. That's how it is. Is there a meaning to it? The greatest thing about life is that there is no meaning to it. This is the greatest aspect of life, that it has no meaning to it and there is no need for it to have a meaning. It is the pettiness of one's mind that it is seek a meaning, because psychologically you will feel kind of unconnected with life if you don't have a purpose and a meaning. People are constantly trying to create these false purposes. Now, they were quite fine and happy. Suddenly they got married. Now the purpose is the other person. Then they have children. Now they become miserable with each other. Now the whole purpose that I go through all this misery is because of the children. Like this it goes on. These are things that you are causing and holding these as purposes of life. And is there a God-given purpose? What if God does not know you exist? No, I'm just asking by chance. I'm saying in this huge cosmos for which God is supposed to be the creator and the manager of this 100 billion galaxies, in that this tiny little planet and you, suppose He doesn't know that you exist, what to do? Possible or no? I'm sorry, I'm saying such sacrilegious things. But is it possible or no? What if He doesn't know that you exist? What if He doesn't have a plan for you? Don't look for such things. The thing is, the creation is made in such a way that creation and creator cannot be separated. Here you are a piece of creation. At the same time, the source of creation is throbbing within you. If you pay little attention to this process of life, you would not need any purpose. It'll keep you engaged for 1,000,000 years if you want. There is so much happening. So much means so much unbelievable things are happening right here. If you pay enough attention, a million years of existence, it'll keep you busy or more. Right now, the need for purpose is gone because you're trapped in your psychological structure, not in your life process. Your psychological structure functions from the limited data that it has gathered. Within that, it rolls. And right now, your thought and emotion has become far more important than your life, isn't it so? So because of this, you seeking a purpose as an escape from the trap that you have set for yourself. It is a trap set by you. You can easily come out of it. If the trap was set for you by somebody else, difficult to come out because they'll set the trap in such a way that you cannot come out, isn't it? So this is a trap set by you. This is easy to come out, but that is the whole thing. Why it is so difficult is now you're identified with the trap. You like it. You like it because it gives you a certain sense of safety and security and protection and individual identity. If you build a cocoon around yourself, it gives you safety, but it also imprisons you. Walls of self-preservation are also walls of self-imprisonment. When it protects you, you like it. When it restricts you, you do not like it. That is why we have doors. We like the walls because it's protecting us. But we have doors so that we can open it and get out when we want to. It doesn't matter how nice it is, we still want to go out, isn't it? So that is how it is with every trap that you set. It doesn't matter how nice it is, you still want to go out. So the psychological wall that you have built, which gives you some sense of identity, which gives you some sense of being a person, an individual person, and which gives you security, beginning to experience it like a trap, somewhere you want to break it. So one way of not breaking it is to find a purpose. Those who find a purpose in their life, they become so conceited. They will live within their own trap forever, thinking that they're doing the most fantastic thing. First thing you need is balance. If you have balance, then you can climb. If you don't have balance, it's better you stay on the ground, isn't it? It's not safe for somebody who is not balanced to climb high. It's best you stay close to the ground. You should not climb. So, first thing is to establish a balance. Then you loosen your psychological structure. Then it's a wonderful thing. If you loosen your psychological structure without balance, which a lot of people are doing today, see, why does somebody want to drink alcohol or take a drug? Because it loosens your psychological structure and makes you feel liberated for a moment. But without the necessary balance, you have not worked for the balance, but you got freedom. Freedom without balance is destruction, anarchy, isn't it? So, first thing is to work for balance, an enormous sense of balance, where even if you dismantle your psychological structure, you can simply live here. Dismantling your psychological structure is an important process because that is your trap. That is your security. That is your stability. At the same time, that's your trap. Because the walls are set, you feel secure, but that's also your trap. If you dismantle your trap, you also dismantle your security, isn't it? You also dismantle your sense of purpose. You also dismantle everything that matters to you. So that will need balance. Without balance, if you dismantle, you will go crazy. But don't look for a purpose, because if you look for a purpose, you're seeking madness. If you find one, you are sure mad. Yes. If you think you found a purpose in life, you've for sure gone crazy. Because only the insane people have purpose. Or people who have purpose are insane in many ways. These are things that you create in your mind and believe it's true, isn't it? Right now, fighting for my country is my purpose. Right now, if it's necessary, I will fight, knowing fully well it's an unnecessary bloody fight. Then you will fight only to the extent it's necessary. If you think this is your purpose, you would want to destroy the whole world for what nonsense you believe in, isn't it? Something is needed, we'll do it. With absolute involvement. There's no other purpose. The purpose of life is to live and to live totally. To live totally does not mean party every night. To live totally means before you fall dead, every aspect of life has been explored. Nothing has been left unexplored. Yes? Before you fall dead, even if you do not explore the cosmos, at least this piece of life you must know it in its entirety. That much you must do to yourself, isn't it? That's living totally. That you experience the whole of this, all dimensions of what this is. You did not leave anything untouched. You just do that. That will take a long time. That's enough, good enough purpose for you. So this is the nature of a human being. Whatever you're deprived of, you think that is the highest thing. Whatever you don't have, looks like at that moment, that is the highest. If you have not eaten for 2 days, food will be God. Yes or no? If you don't understand this, close your mouth, hold your nose like this for 2 minutes. Will you ask for air or God? God comes and says, you want me or air? You'll say, hell with you, I want to breathe. Because whatever at that moment you're deprived of, that becomes, takes on, enlarges itself in such a way, it blocks everything out. Or in other words, when you're in any state of compulsiveness, you don't see anything the way it is, it gets exaggerated. If your bladder is full, 1 minute, I'm talking about enlightenment. Your bladder is very full. Are you interested? I don't want any enlightenment. Right now, going to the bathroom feels like ultimate liberation. Yes or no? So just about anything. When you're in a state of compulsiveness, you don't see anything the way it is. Life will get distorted to make you think that that is it at that moment. So like this, human life passes from one compulsive state to another, never allowing yourself that little bit of space where you could see things the way they are. If you do not even see life the way it is, can you handle it the way it needs to be handled? It doesn't arise, isn't it? If you don't see things the way they are, you can never handle it the way it needs to be handled. Because of this, in many ways, individual human lives and whole societies have become distorted humanity. When I say distorted, it's normal, I mean normal. I was talking to 14-15-year-old kids in a school. And I couldn't believe that I was talking to about 11-12 of them, young boys and girls. And something came up and I was just asking them what are they going to do next because they were in their 10th standard or something. They're only talking about finding a job and earning a living. I couldn't believe this because my whole life I never thought of earning a living. My dear father used to break his head. This boy has no fear in his heart. What will happen to him? What will happen to him? I said, not having fear is a problem. I thought fear is a problem. I never thought not having fear is a problem. According to the dictates of the divine, I was supposed to become a doctor because my father is a doctor. At the age of 10, I told him, no, that's one thing I'm not going to be. I'm not going to be a doctor. But every day, somebody is trying to work on me. You must become a doctor, you must become a doctor. You know, Indian family. You must become a doctor. If you cannot, of course, now they've all shifted to software. I was in Chicago just a, you know, 8 days. Just 2 days ago, I came to India. So 1 week ago, 8 days ago, I was in Chicago. And an Indian person came and I asked, okay, what are you doing? What else, Sadhguru? That means he's a software engineer. There was a time if you said what else, you were a doctor. Now if you say what else, it means you're a software engineer. It is not because they're phenomenally interested in human physiology they became doctors. Not because they have an electronic this thing they became a software engineer, just to earn a living. Is it not important? I'm not saying it's not important. All I'm saying is, even an ant, which is 1/1,000,000th of your brain, is capable of earning a living. What's your problem with such a big brain? Why I'm saying this is, this idea, this horribly limiting idea, has been imposed into our youths that you must earn a living and that's the biggest thing. This big brain, earning a living is actually a problem on this planet. I know everybody's been conditioned to believe that. It's not so, I'm telling you. It is not so. Earning a living is a petty thing for human consciousness. But unfortunately, all humanity is investing all its energies and intelligence in just earning a living. If this one thing does not change in the world, that I'm not saying one should not. All I'm saying is, it need not occupy the entirety of human consciousness to earn a living. If you put one little finger to work, it'll earn a living. It's capable. This is capable of that. All human genius has been smothered to death simply because everybody is thinking how to earn a living, how to earn a living, you know. The moment they can earn a living, they will sit down and become fat. You must be seeing, what can I do with this life, isn't it? You must be seeing, what is the greatest thing I can do with this life? Because one day you'll fall dead, do you know? Do you know you'll fall dead one day? So before you die, whatever is the peak possibility for this life should happen, isn't it? I earned my living. This is a big pride. Why don't you see every insect, every worm, every bird, every animal, every creature on this planet is earning a living? What is there to be so proud of about I earn my own living? Everybody's earning their own living, isn't it? Only human beings are making a big issue out of it. Too big an issue. When I look at it, how human intelligence has been sacrificed at the altar of earning a living is unbelievable. How many things human beings could have done, how many incredible things they could have done, but instead of that they're earning a living. So it's very, very important. I'm just thinking we should start a wave, particularly in schools and colleges, that earning a living is a damn little thing. It is not the prime of your life. With one little finger, you can earn a living. With this big brain, when an ant can earn its living, this big brain, should it struggle to earn a living? That has become a problem because you want to be like somebody else, isn't it? You want to be like somebody else. That enslaves you. And once you are into this chakra, nothing else is possible. It just keeps you going and going and going endlessly. Now this possibility of this simple thing called yoga is not about twisting your body. It's not about getting fit. It's not about getting healthy. All these things nature will do for you, if only if you live in tune with it. This is about understanding the geometry of the cosmos through the geometry of your own system. I'm calling this a geometry because cosmos is a geometry, isn't it? Planet Earth is going around the sun. What is it? A diesel powered? You think a big diesel engine is pushing it? If it was, the roar of that engine would have killed us. Just the perfection of geometry, it just keeps going and going and going, isn't it? The whole universe is geometrically perfect. That's why it stays there. Otherwise it wouldn't. And if you learn to hold your body in a certain way, if the geometry of your body is in alignment with the geometry of the rest of the creation, suddenly you will find there is a rapport which will allow you You can download the whole cosmos into this one. Probably these days you don't have this experience anymore because you got all Tata Sky, Dishnet and all that stuff. But if suppose you had a television in your home in the 80s when first the Doordarshan came, you are watching your favorite cricket match. Suddenly your television was boom, boom, boom. Then you climb up the terrace and there is one aluminum contraption. If you do like this, nothing will come. If you do like this, nothing will come. You just get it to the right place. Ah, the world pours into your sitting room. This is just like that. If you learn to just hold it right, the whole cosmos will pour into you. So, engineering yourself does not mean engineering yourself to breathe little better, to be little more healthy. No. This is about realizing the full potential of what it means to be human. You're just a piece of life, aren't you? No, that's not true. You're a bundle of thoughts, emotions, ideas, opinions, and prejudices right now. Not a piece of life. If you sat here just as a piece of life, not as a man, not as a woman, not as this, not as that, not as a thought, not as an emotion, just a piece of life, this would naturally reverberate with the rest of the existence. Right now, you invested too much on little things like earning a living and having this and having that and missing everything. Oh, should I not have this? Should I not have that? Having is not the problem. Clinging is the problem, isn't it? Having is not the problem. What you have, you become that after some time. And it's happening to you. Every little thing that you acquire is taking your life in some way, isn't it? All these things we acquired, thinking that these things will make our life. We got these gadgets because we thought it'll make our life. Right now, this gadget has become a nuisance. We can't keep our hands off it. We're doing satsang, messaging somebody. Communication, of course, but not a communion. So, once you've come here, you should not leave this place without knowing the full depth and dimension of what this life is about, isn't it? Nobody should leave without knowing this because other things are subject to various realities. We do not know whether you will get to run 100 meters in 8 seconds. You can't do that. We do not know whether you will climb Mount Everest or not. We do not know whether you will earn $1 billion or not. But this much is possible. You can explore the full depth and dimension of what this is because you don't need anybody's permission. You don't need any kind of anything. If you are willing, it's there, isn't it? You may be willing to climb Mount Everest, but your lungs may not be ready. Your legs may not be ready. With this, it's not like that. It is not demanding any particular capability. It is not demanding any particular situation. Only your willingness. But you see, your willingness comes in installments. Nothing wrong if you had a 10,000-year lifespan. Nothing wrong. Fortunately, you don't have that because if you hung around for 10,000 years, oh, what a miserable world this will be. Isn't it? You may think whatever you want, but it's good you have come with an expiry date. Have you noticed on a particular day when you're very joyful, 24 hours just went off like a moment? You're miserable and depressed. One day goes like a eon. So only miserable people have a long life. Joyful people, even if they live to be 100, it's too brief. Before you know what's happening, it'll be gone. Really, it gets over too fast. But if you're miserable, you will live long. So it's a very brief life. And whatever is of paramount importance to this life must happen at the earliest not day after tomorrow, isn't it? It must be today. So, the life process doesn't wait. You need to understand, your life is just a certain combination of time and energy. Energy we can manage. Time you cannot manage. It's going away. It doesn't matter. You're awake, you're asleep, you're okay, you're not okay, you're happy, you're miserable. Going, going, going. As I'm talking, you're 2 minutes closer to the grave. Time you cannot manage. It's just going. You can only manage your energy. You can manage your activity. How you make use of the time, you can manage. But you cannot manage time. It's slipping away, isn't it? So if you recognize that your life is just a certain amount of time and energy, you would definitely invest your energy in a way it is most meaningful to this life, isn't it? But if you do not understand this, if you intentionally forgetful about the briefness of life and you go about as if you're eternal. Yes, you are eternal, aren't you? On a daily basis, you're not aware that life will end for me. And it could be today. Not to be terrified, just to be in tune with the fundamental facts of life, that it is possible that our lives could end today, isn't it? Possible? We are not intending, we are not seeking that, but it's possible, isn't it? If you miss this, then you'll miss your whole life. If you do not understand that you have an expiry date and it is not even fixed like a pharmaceutical product that you have another 2 years to live, it could be just about any time. If you miss this one fundamental fact, you're sure to miss your whole life. Because everything that's vital will be tomorrow, and tomorrow never happens. There is a certain superstition in South India. Maybe it is here also, particularly in Karnataka, where on all the village homes, in red paint, it will be written, Nale Ba. Nale Ba means come tomorrow. They write it in red paint because devils will come wanting to enter your house and they can see only red. You didn't know this? Because they're looking for your blood. They can see only red color. So it's painted in red paint. Nale Ba. Devil comes to your house and says, okay, this house is tomorrow, and goes away. But the fact is, most human beings have done this not to the devil but to the divine. If you've done it to the devil, it's okay, but you've done it to the divine. Since it's tomorrow, we'll meditate tomorrow. So, knowing life is not some superhuman effort. If you stop being some other rubbish and just become life, which is what you are, knowing life is not far away. It's right here.